Well, it's that time of year when the CFL normally is pretty quiet as teams get ready for free agency. A few re-signings are about the only things we typically hear about, but that's definitely not the case this year as there is plenty going on right now in the CFL. Joining me on the line here for the Piffles podcast is CFL Commissioner Randy Ambrosi. Mr. Ambrosi, thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule.
Alex, it's nice to be with you.
Now, first off, the big question is on everybody's mind, the CBA. What's going on? Where are talks with that going right now?
Yeah, we actually got a chance to visit with Brian Ramsey of the Players Association about I guess 2 weeks ago. Brian attended our Player Safety and Health conference that we have, our annual medical conference. It was in Montreal, and just as we expected, Brian shared with us that the players, after a busy season, they were getting together with the player reps and wanting to make sure that they were all on the same page. We're doing a similar exercise with our teams. So, what happens in the context of labor law is at some point the players will give us formal notice of their intention to bargain, and we'll wait for that to receive that. But for the moment, everyone's doing all the right things. They're getting prepared, and we'll look forward to when the players are ready, we'll be ready to go.
Now, one of the big things being talked about right now is player safety. What exactly is being done on that front?
Well, it's an ongoing process. This isn't a new exercise. Part of it will some ideas that will surface that surface will get talked about during the rules committee. I spent some time this week with Darrin Hackwood talking about some of the ideas that are going to be on the table at the rules committee. So that's definitely happening. We had a fantastic session with our team doctors, and I always, well, first of all, I enjoy just spending time with them, but you really come to appreciate how much they care about the players. And we just talked about some of the advances in medicine, and some of the issues that they're looking at. I think it's a constant and steady evolution.
Now, another thing that's coming up, and we're seeing this players talking about this on social media, is contracts. And basically, why is it okay that a player has to kind of fulfill his end of the contract, but the team doesn't have to fulfill their end, and they can kind of release them whenever?
Well, it's the nature of our contracts. Look, if what our fans want is our fans want the best players playing. Fans want winning teams. They want the teams to have the ability to put the best product on the field. And so, in order to be able to do that, you have to be able to, so every player goes into their career knowing that at some point they're not going to be able to play. If somebody comes along that's just more talented than they are, or bigger, stronger, and faster. That's a reality of our sport. That's a reality, I guess, of life, that eventually somebody's going to come along and take your place. Look, we're going to talk about all the important issues with when we sit down with the players. I'm sure there'll be ideas surfaced on their side. We'll have ideas that are surfaced on ours. We're going to try to be remarkably professional and thoughtful as we talk these things through. But you can't, how does that phrase go? Father time is undefeated. And there's a certain reality to life.
Now, this offseason, more than any offseason, we've seen so many of our CFL stars going down south to the NFL, fulfilling their dream. Are long-term contracts being talked about to keep our stars here in Canada? Because many fans are worried that there's no connection to their team anymore, and it seems like there's a lot of movement, and we don't see the 6-year deals that you see in the NFL or the NHL or any of the other major leagues. Why don't we see that in the CFL?
You know what, Alex? Quick, oh, seriously, I get asked this question as much as almost anything else that I talk to fans about. Is they would like to see more continuity on our rosters. They love their star players and want to see them stay, with the team for as long as possible. And that will be the subject of a conversation with the players. You know, trying to find a way to work with our players. And this is going to be, you know, a fundamental tone of our discussions is, how do we work together to grow and make the CFL bigger and stronger? And I can tell them, you know, through a firsthand experience, how frequently this subject is raised with our fans. I think it's an important topic and one that we have to talk to the players about and see if we can work together to find a solution.
The coach's salary cap. Why?
Well, you know, in large part because when, you know, when we presented to the Board of Governors an analysis of the league's financials, our fastest growing expense category in the league by far, the fastest growing expense category was our non-player football operations costs and, you know, outstripping revenue growth by a factor of almost three times. That's not a good business model for any of you who have missed that lesson in business school. And when we talked to the players, there was frustration amongst the players as well that they're working under a salary cap, and they've seen the significant growth in the number of coaches, the number of people in our non-player football operations area. And there was a frustration that they're, you know, that the players are being held to a standard that nobody else is. So it was a combination of all of those things. So, you know, the exercise was done, you know, in total collaboration with the teams to make sure that there was you know, we tried to land at the right place with the right numbers of coaches and support staff in the you know, the non-player category. And ultimately, you know, this is something that the governors felt was important, was an important step to take.
Now, your CFL 2.0 initiative, first, the Mexican Combine and the draft, the LFA draft. First of all, how did that come about in the first place?
Well, you know what? This is just, I'm in my own mind, I got to start separating fact from folklore. You know, really, it was the early origins of this whole thing was a presentation I made to our lead governors about the changing nature of some of our CFL markets, Toronto and Vancouver to name two, that these were cities that were not defined by their Canadianism, but really defined by their internationalism. And, you know, I hypothesized that we needed to look at that more carefully. The second was an analysis done of what's happened in sports leagues around the world. And everywhere you look, you've seen that the rapid rise or growth in those sports and the rapid growth in their revenues and their success has come when they went to a more international model. You know, thinking, you know, Yari Curry, when he played for the Edmonton Oilers, was the only Finn playing in the NHL. And now there are 44 Finns playing in the NHL. But if you go back and look at how much more the players in the NHL make today compared to what they made in Yari Curry's era, you see a tremendous growth in the success for the player when those leagues have adopted an international strategy. And you know, we did that analysis, and it was compelling. And it happened to coincide with an introduction from Blake Mill, who's the head coach at the University of British Columbia, to the principals of the LFA in Mexico. And, you know, I took an idea to the Board of Governors that there may be a whole other way of thinking about our future, one where we could grow, you know, grow our game, welcome in an international contingent of players. I'd say the one thing that got our governors excited is the idea we also can create a pathway for more Canadian players to fulfill their dreams in football. It doesn't have to be a career in the CFL to be fulfilling. You know, so many of our kids that finish playing university football, finish their junior career, still they haven't lost their love of the game. And what's been happening, in fact, we met with the German Federation today in Toronto, is that there is a willingness of all these federations to welcome Canadian players into their game as a way of helping our players, you know, continue to pursue this game that they love. So all of those things have come together to create an opportunity, and we had a very successful experience with the scouting combine in Mexico. We're looking forward to welcoming some players from the the European federations. We're in conversations with them about how we, you know, get them into a scouting combine, and you know, it's just a way to re-energize our game, show our fans a new experience, this international player opportunity, and for me, giving more Canadian kids a chance to play the game they love. And it's all of those things that came together.
So I do have a couple other questions just regarding this draft with the LFA, and we can talk about Germany in just a minute here. Why was there a draft done instead of just, you know, adding designated negotiation list spots?
Well, in part because, look, what we want to do is kind of approach this part of our strategy a little differently. So we thought we would try something, a different approach. One is, we don't want our teams having to send people all around the world kind of looking for the next star. So if you don't organize it, if you don't have the international players flow through a combine and then a draft, then it becomes a free-for-all. And now the added expense, of course, not just scouting players, but scouting players internationally could become counterproductive to our goal of a bigger, stronger, financially stronger league. So we said, listen, we're going to try this. Let's try doing something a little different. So international players will come in through a scouting combine, and then they'll be drafted. This kind of prevents that free-for-all idea. And it's something we're going to try. And who knows, you know, we may adjust in years to come, but this was seemed like a logical place to start.
Now, will roster sizes be increased to accommodate these new players, or is it just a case of, you know, they make it through a mini camp, get to training camp, and it's, you know, best man gets the job?
Yeah, this is an important item for us to talk with the players about, and so we are, you know, we've said to Brian Ramsey and Ken Giorgetti of the Players Association, we're looking forward to talking about how we grow the CFL together, how we grow the game, and this will be an important part of that discussion.
Now, you mentioned Germany. Is there any other international places that you're talking to right now? I know you have meetings going on right now, but where else is the league looking for players?
Yeah, we're going to be talking to the French Federation, the Austrian Federation, the federations from the four Nordic countries. We've had an outreach from Poland just recently. It's been crazy, Alex, just how many people have kind of expressed an interest in building bridges between the Canadian Football League and the rest of the football playing world, and it's an exciting time for our league to play a real role in the development of our game globally.
Off-season, anything but, time off for the commissioner then, right?
Well, no, my wife mentioned that. She asked about that idea of an off-season. We had a good chuckle. No, you know what? Listen, it's an honor to do what I've been asked to do and to work with a great board of governors who, you know, are passionate about our league. You know, Alex, I say this, you know, I'm often asked, and people say, well, why do you have to do this? Why not just concentrate on fixing Toronto? And I say, well, this is part of fixing Toronto and re-energizing BC. Those cities have changed so much. And look, you don't think that the owners of the Toronto Argonauts, whether you go back to Sherwood Schwartz, and then you had, Bruce McNall and his partners, John Candy, Wayne Gretzky, and you had, Cinnamon and his partner, you don't think they tried to re-energize the Toronto Argonauts? And the answer might not be in pedaling the same old bike harder. The answer might be that we re-energize the league with a more global concept. Look at curling. Curling could easily be contained inside of Canada's borders. But, you know, the world of curling is more exciting because there's a global global competitiveness. And look, I don't know why the CFL should be relegated to a second-class position in anything. I don't believe that we are second-class in any way. We should be the biggest, strongest, most global sports league possible. And, boy, if it takes working a little, putting in a few extra hours from December 1st through the beginning of June, I'm more than happy to do that.
I like that you brought up curling because, like they say, curling rocks, right?
Curling rocks, yes, right.
And finally, I hear that you're doing the town hall tour again this year.
I am. You know what? It's something I don't want to ever miss. A chance to visit with our fans is important. Really looking forward to getting a chance to come back out. Last year was so educational. I learned a lot. Fans gave me a lot of good feedback. And I'm looking forward to, it's a great time to just spend listening, asking questions. Fans have good questions about where we're going and some of the things that we're working on. And I'm excited to hit the road here in a couple of weeks' time.
So that'll be in about mid-February then?
That's right, yeah.
And can we expect a Grey Cup announcement for 2020 in that time as well?
You know, we're getting closer to a decision on it. The truth is, we had three fantastic bids. Two of them are two of the three are neck and neck right now. The governors wanted a little bit of time to sort out a couple of questions, but boy, I'm super proud of the teams for the bids they put in. And yeah, you will expect announcement in the not too distant future.
Well, Mr. Commissioner, thank you so much for your time. I know you're busy with meetings, so I'll let you get back to that. And we will see you on the road here in your town hall tour in a couple weeks.
Absolutely, Alex. Thanks very much. And best wishes to all of your fans. You guys like curling, you rock.
Well, there you go. CFL Commissioner Randy Ambrosi here on the Piffles Podcast answering some of the questions that you guys have, that I have, the fans. And we'll have our chance to talk to him, like he said, in a couple weeks in his town hall tour. So when he gets to your city, make sure you go there. We went last year, and it was actually really good. You got to go up to a mic and ask him a question, and he answered it. So if you have questions about the league, just save them for a couple weeks, and Commissioner Randy Ambrosi will be coming to your city very soon. I'm Alex. Thanks for joining me here on the Piffles Podcast.